word in your life, I promise you the promise of God will happen for the doer. It will happen for the doer. I don't care if no church on the planet, experiences God's faithfulness, we going to. Because we're going to be doers, and we're going to make God's word first place, the first thing we turn to. Let it be the first thing comes out of our mouth whenever things are challenging to us, whenever things are not even challenging to us. Because the Bible says, let everything that has breath give God praise. Let everything that, and when you're glorifying God every day and you're quoting that scripture, that's what giving Him praise is. Hallelujah. You might not feel like you're giving God praise, but when you're turning to Him and you're confessing that word when you're sick and saying, God, I know that by Your stripes I'm healed. I was telling Doris this morning, I went down there and looked at that building. It's been on her nerves for a year or two and I ain't got to it. But anyways, that's beside the point. As I was telling her, I went up there yesterday, went on top of that building and trying to find a leak. You know, that's in there and everything. And I was telling her, I went up there, I said, but it's not from the top. I said, it's got to be somewhere else. And I had a tall ladder, so I left, you know, and I didn't. But anyways, I told her, I said, all I got, she said, that's going to take a long time to do if I go over that whole top. And I said, I've got plenty of time. I'm promised 120 years. Like that. She said, well, you done used up half of it. I like a year, Doris, half a year. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But God is good. And I was thinking about fathers this morning. You know, when I was thinking about Travis, he was going down the road the other day, and he said, you know, Dad, he said, leaving a legacy, he said, is not really money and all of that stuff, you know, and all of that, you know, and I was thinking about that, you know, and I've always said out, Lord, I want to leave a legacy behind me, and I'm not talking about money, you know, and all of that stuff, you know, but I was thinking about fathers, and I sent my pastor Brad, I sent him a message this morning, and I told him, I said, Happy Father's Day. I said, you've been a great inspiration in my life as a father, a natural father. I said, you was a great inspiration because Travis was a year and a half old when I started in that church. It's important to raise your kids in church. It's important to raise your grandkids in church. It's important to enforce them if you're there living in your house, that they're going, as for you in your house, you're going to serve the Lord. And you're going to make sure they do what you say, and you're leaving a legacy on the inside of them. Travis didn't always agree with that. But I didn't ask him, and God didn't ask him. Right? And so as a father, I told him, I said, and I want to thank you, I said, because I said, on the spiritual side, I said, you have influenced my calling. I said, you influenced my calling as a spiritual father and as a spiritual leader. I said, and you impacted me in that manner, and you're impacting everybody that I'm impacting because of his legacy. His legacy, his God, his calling. And you know, I got born again, and give me that scripture, Matthew 6:9. This is his teaching them how to pray, but I want you to notice something. He's teaching disciples how to pray here. And he says, after this manner pray, our Father which art in heaven. That's all I want to say. Our Father. Amen. Our Father. Yeah. Our Happy Father's Day, Lord. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Happy Father's Day, God. Happy Father's Day. This is Father's Day to him. Now, we celebrating us natural fathers down here. But I'm going to tell you something. I got born again, and I knew my daddy. My daddy was a good man. My dad's been gone 40 years, 35 somewhat, or whatever. I think I was 18, 19 years old, something like that, when he passed away. But I never remember my daddy saying a cuss word. My dad couldn't read and write. He could scribble his name. He could write his name to where you might could see it. You might could. He went to the same grocery store because he couldn't read labels for all of my life that I remember, because he knew where everything was. He didn't go to different ones like we'll do. He went to the same one every time. He went down the same aisle every time. He couldn't read nothing else and all of that, so he had that, and I remember that, you know. And now my sister and them remember Dad before me. I don't, you know, but I remember him. He would carry me through where he was raised over right past Mount Ebal Church. My pawpaw owned a bunch of land back in there. And my dad was raised there right past Mount Ebal, go down the valley over there on the right over there, back toward y'all's house somewhere. But there's an old building used to be on the right there. But anyways, he would ride me over there, and I was a kid, and he'd go through there, and he'd tell me, yeah, I used to play in that branch, and I used to pray in that branch. And I was like, Dad, you can't play in a branch, because I've seen him as grown up and dad. But he had a life before that, you know. And he'd tell me about how he's, don't eat salt. Don't eat salt, he said, because... He said, my mama died when she was 20-something years old, and she always went around with a handful of salt. So in other words, he believed salt killed her. I don't. I ate a bunch of it. I'm not telling you eat salt or not. That's your choice. It's not about the salt. But anyhow, he told me that his daddy, that he had to leave home and take care of his two brothers. And I barely remember the oldest, but Jay Bird, we called him Jay Bird, he lived for years with polio. He had polio. And I remember the older brother was in a wheelchair, you know. That's about all I remember. But anyways, he would tell me, he said, my daddy never said a cuss word. He wouldn't say an ugly word. He'd say, ah, tut, boys, or something like that, you know. And I don't never remember my dad saying a cuss word, you know. And you know, I didn't do it because of that, but I was thinking about that this morning, that my dad showed me how to be a good man. When I remember my daddy had a good name. You know, back before, I heard stories. He was a bootlegger and had a hearse and run bootleg whiskey and all of that. I don't remember none of that, and that's good enough. But I remember on Sundays, not going to church much, and that's not a good thing. You know, fathers need to lead their families to the house of God, to the things of, I don't care what the world says and the culture, God's word is right, and God's ways are right, and God's not changed, and he's not going to change. He don't need to change. God is a perfect father. Perfect father. He's complete. He don't have to change. He's not going to change. He don't need to change. He is perfect. So anyways, I got born again. My dad, I got born again. But I remember my dad on Sundays, he's watching Oral Roberts and Jimmy Swaggart. I remember those two. You know, on Sunday morning, he'd have Oral Roberts on. Oral Roberts would go off, and Jimmy Swaggart, evangelist Jimmy Swaggart, would come on. And he listened to them too, you know, on Sundays. Best I can remember, you know, and I thought about it. See, my pawpaw was a school teacher and a Sunday school teacher. So I believe the calling of God was on my pawpaw. Now, Pat and Nita would probably remember him. I know Alan does really good. That's on my dad's side. Now, my mama's side, Paul, his name was Paul. You know, we'd carry him fish, and he had big, thick glasses, and he couldn't see out of, so, but you know what? Every night that we would ever went to Paul's mom's house, he lay there, and he talked to God for hours. He'd go to bed, and he's talking to God for an hour or longer. Seemed like forever, you know, as a little kid. And he's talking to God, and he's praying. I don't remember what he said, you know. But see, what I'm saying is that him talking to God impacted my life, right? As a pawpaw on that side. I didn't know my pawpaw on the other side, But both of them I know served the Lord. And it impacted, it might not have impacted us. See, God brings the gospel to us and we refuse Him and refuse Him, I believe. Not everybody, but I did for 27 years of my life, you know. But anyways, I got born again and I didn't know. I mean, Travis, he's a year and a half old and you know, and I didn't really know how to be a father. Because Mom and them had some trouble, and all I'd seen, a lot of my family was divorced and other families and different things, you know, and all of that stuff. And so I started asking God. How many knows you go to the perfect Father? So I went to God, and I began to ask God, God, how do I be a father? I mean, I wanted to know, Johnny, because I'm born again. I don't want Him to know that dope smoker. I don't want Him to know that cussing. I didn't want Him to know that. I did not want Him to know that stealing life. I read in the Bible where it said, let a man that stole steal no more, but let him work with his own hands that he'll have to give to them that need. And so I didn't want Him to see that kind of man because I knew that I was a new creation, just like you, Mac. Mac put that shirt on, and he got that for a party animal shirt, I guess. Might not be his words, but he's a good-looking guy. I just imagine when he was young, long, blonde hair running around, thinks he's God's gift to women. But he put that shirt on, you know, and he didn't feel like whether he ought to wear it or not, or you know, and he was telling me a little bit, and I said, well, Mac, you know, I used to fight chickens before I got saved, with the gaves and all that for money. But when I got saved, I kept the chickens. I just didn't quit fighting. Right. Wasn't the chickens. Right. It was the heart. Yeah. So the shirt's good. You look good in it. That cured me back to the 70s. Woo! Peace, baby. Year of peace. We have peace. Hallelujah. And you know what I was thinking this morning? I was thinking about how. And I was thankful to the Lord that God sent me a spiritual father at church, my pastor. I didn't know that at the time, didn't realize that at the time, didn't realize that how he was with his kids is going to be something that I try to put into my life, unbeknown to me. You know, he presented the word, the Holy Spirit does the convincing in us, right? We walk our life, and when we acknowledge in God as fathers, then they will see God through us. Because we're saying, God, I don't know how to be a husband, but Lord, I don't know how to be a father, but God, show me how to be a father. I want to know how to be a father to my son. I want to know how to be a wife, a husband to my wife, not a wife to my husband. I want to know. See, y'all ladies ought to want to know how to be the wife that God wants you to be. And I mean, you might be, well, I wouldn't have a man. Don't be go telling your grandkids that. Don't be go preaching to them that because you had a jacked up, you know, something. Don't go preaching that stuff based on your experience. You go tell them what God wants for them. You go tell them, see, that's being... You know, I didn't tell Travis, man, try to get you somebody that ain't like your mama. There ain't nothing wrong with mama. She's Teresa, and she's blunt, and she's straightforward. And we raised herself, and it's took God a long time to get us out of us. Right? That's everybody's got a pearl in them. Everybody really down inside is good unless they have just yielded to darkness. Why? Because we're creating an image and likeness of God. You know? And so I was thinking about, I'm leaving Travis, I'm leaving a legacy behind me because Travis, he don't want to be like me, but he, you know, the things that when I follow God and things like that, it influences his life like my dad's did my life. Yeah. And my pastor influenced my life to where he made me want to be a pastor that preaches and ministers and the word is effective. Right. You know, I mean, I'm always like, God, give me what you want for us today, Lord. Then when we leave there, Lord, we can use that and things will happen in our life, inwardly or whatever, you know. Well, see, that's the way God is. I mean, God does not set a table before us in the presence of our enemies where we don't flow over. He said our cup runs over, right? And he says, surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our life. See, how I am, I went one time and I got really upset. I used to, it didn't take much. I'll flog you, man. You know, you make me mad, I'll turn the table over on you, jump on it, squash you with it if it's possible. That was stupid, but anyways, this last time I really got mad and Travis was working with me, Satan couldn't do it until it came to ripping Travis off. And this guy's gonna rip Travis off, you know. The dude, he's drinking a little bit, you know, and I'm there and I'm mad. It made me mad. So he's sitting in this rollback chair and I used a 7/16 wrench, so I had it in my pocket. I'd been working putting a cable on or something. And when I got really calm to myself, I had him and I had that wrench, you know, and I had it right at his nostril, you know, and I'm going to shove it up in his brain, you know. And I mean, I'm in the flesh, 189% in the flesh. I'm a Christian, but I am in the flesh. I'm not in the spirit. I've yielded to a wrong spirit over temptation. And I told the guy, you know, I told him, I said, you need to get saved. Travis was there. I said, you need Jesus. Because I'm thinking he's the only thing going to help you live right now is Jesus. And I come off of him, you know, and I thought, get up, you know. I wish you would get up, but God, I'll put you in happy hour more than that beer will, 9 o'clock in the morning. See, them drunks, they get bold. It's the alcohol. Anyways, I felt good right then. I thought, but God, I'm going to kill him, you know. And then I kind of calmed down. Well, the little big mouth that always going to whoop somebody, he was in there, and he went and crawled in the truck, and I'm like, where'd he go? Action fixing to start. Anyways, I left, you know, and I'm still upset, you know, and all that. And every time I would try to pray or believe God, I couldn't. I've grieved the Holy Spirit. And the Lord told me, he said, that was not an example of me in front of your son. And so, Mac, you know what I had to do? I had to ask God to forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, for being a bad example of you. And even bringing up your name in it. And so the next day I went to Travis and I told him, I said, son, I said, I want to ask you to forgive me. I said, that was not a good example of a father to do that. I had no excuse. They was doing it to you, and I wasn't going to allow it. You know, so I apologize. And I've let them rip him off since then. People will do you wrong. You hear me? They'll do you wrong. And I've let them, if they don't do right, I just release it and forgive them. And then down the road, I'll be like, I'm going to make up for what they done to him, so I'll just give him, boom, boom. He don't never know what I just said. I just do it. You know? And he don't respond because of that, he don't respond in certain ways to customers and all of that because he's seen his father, his dad, follow his father, God, in that. See, fathers hold a unique place in the family and the church. Women do too, but I'm going to count on fathers today. But I wouldn't be what I am today without my wife. Now, she may be straight lining. I come in piling things up on our backup generator yesterday, and I thought, well, I'll set it here where I can mix it, you know, and just right here and then grab and go in the garbage. And she sat on the back porch, and she looked at me. She said, what are you piling all that there for? And I just got up, and I said, I'm not. And I went and cleaned it all off, put it on my gator, and backed up there and put it all up there at my man cave, my shed. That happened, didn't it? I could have got mad. I could have got upset. I could have just turned the generator over. I used to would. But see, as we walk with our Father, God, we begin to take on His nature. He's meek. Jesus said, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly. Well, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? So we're fathers when we're not quick-tempered. When we're stable in the Lord. If we have us fathers, we got to do what Sunday school. What was Sunday school? Well, you should have came. God had Sunday school tailored for us. I mean, and it was wonderful. Teaching us to walk by faith. See, we think we know how to do a lot of stuff, but I'm telling you, we don't know much according to God. But when God begins to bring it forth, I thank God for my church. I didn't like going to Sunday school. But God convicted me one day. And I thought, man, they're the boredest Sunday school teachers on the earth. Look at her, she's laughing. She probably thought it too. I mean, they're just theologians. I found out one of them after about a year or so, something happened, found out he wasn't even say he'd been pretending all the time. No wonder he was boring. He didn't have nothing for me. He was dead spiritually. But you know, I went on anyways, and I said, because my Father asked me to. And I believe because He asked me to, Granny, that I could get some more of that rebellion out of me. What I want out of me. I want what you want, God. And so I was going faithful to Sunday school. And I didn't really want to go to Sunday. I'm not saying anything. But all of y'all, I mean, y'all sitting out there, y'all fathers at church, not at church. That bothers God. That bothers Him because you're saying, I know how to be a father on my own, God. But I want you to pay my light bill and I want you to give me the money for my car and help me with my house payments and all of that. But I don't want what you want in that manner. I know. No, you don't know. The Bible says that our ways are not His ways. But when we are seeking God, see, listen, that is why we got so many young men in trouble right now because they didn't have a father. They had a daddy. There's a difference in a daddy and a father. There's a difference. He said, Happy Father's Day, Papa. I said, nope, to you, it's Happy Papa Day. I told Aubrey, I called him up yesterday, because I'm going to be a godly influence in my grandkids' life. I'm not just got my grandkids so I can enjoy them. They're precious and all that. All of that's great. But I called Travis. Teresa, she was gone with her mother yesterday. And so I'd got done. I thought, well, I'm Teresa. I like to go home and take a nap. But if she ain't there, it's harder to go to sleep, you know. So I'm thinking, well, I can take the grandkids off till she gets back, and then we'll take one. I don't care if it's 4 o'clock. I mean, with our time, right? Do it at 4. We do it about 1:30 or 2 if I'm there. And anyways, I called, yeah, Travis, yeah, we fixed the lid. I said, y'all wait about 35 minutes, see if the kiddos, they want to go with me. Yeah. Travis didn't even get it out of his mouth. Y'all rather go with us or Papa? And I can hear, Papa! And so I thought to myself, you know, when my grandkids was born, and I had this competitive feeling with the other pawpaw. I had this competitiveness feeling, you know, and I thought, man, ain't nobody gonna be pawpaw. Can't nobody but me be pawpaw. I'm Pawpaw, you know. And so I thought, well, you know, Pawpaw in Teresa's life. Now I'm talking about how the man figure made an influence in my life was her Pawpaw. You wouldn't think, would you, that I'm dating her and all that. How he felt about her really didn't matter to me then. But when I became a Pawpaw, and all she could talk about for years is Pawpaw, Pawpaw. And I didn't have to, she had several Pawpaws. She had a couple of Pawpaws, but there's this one particular Pawpaw that she talked about in a manner of love and caring, and it was Pop. And so I thought, okay, Pop had other, he could have felt challenged that way. I thought, but I'm not in competition with anybody because I'm in Christ Jesus. See, now here comes God in and the Holy Spirit. I don't compete. I stopped competing for my wife's love. I had it all, didn't know it. But I was selfish and abused it. But when I got born again, she told me one time, you don't ever tell me to do nothing. I said, I'm not ever going to. I held you in a prison for years with my selfishness. I said, and you're free. She's free to do what she wants to do. Now, it's hard for a man to do that. But I told the Lord one time, I said, because I love her, I'm going to let her go and choose the life that she wants on her own. Ain't that what fathers do? I choose to let my grandkids do right, give them some direction and all of that. And I had one of my Teresa's little nephews, I guess he's a nephew. But anyway, he come over and I'm get him on my gator and I'm riding. I thought, I don't know, I'm not going to let him ask the gas or nothing. So, huh? Great nephew. He's a card. Anyhow, get on there and I said, I'll tell you what. I said, I'll mash the gas and you just drive. Okay. We go, and he said, will it go any faster? And I said, it will. So I get past this pole, and I punched it. And that when I got it, it'd get up and go. It'd get up from 0 to 50 in just a few seconds, you know. And so he went, woo-hoo-hoo! Yeah! He said, woo-hoo, do it again. Give him an adrenaline rush. Well, we'd go around the garden a couple of times, and I wasn't getting dangerous. I'd just give him a little gas and then let off, you know. Then he said, hey, stop. Stop. So I stopped and I said, what? What is it? He said, hold on just a minute. He said, let me get buckled up. He said, because we're hitting the road. I said, no, we're not hitting the road. I mean, he wasn't thinking. He's thinking, hold it, let me put the seatbelt on. We're going to hit the road. He said, we're going to hit the road. And he looked up at me. Let me give him a seat. I said, no, we're not going to hit the road. I said, Aiden them rides around here, I said, but they don't get on the road. They don't just go get on the road and ride. And I didn't explain to him why you're not going to get on the road and drive. And number one, it's against the law. So I'm breaking the law. I looked at Aiden them one time. He's like, I'm going to drive on the road, Papa. I said, you're not a lawbreaker. Is it against the law? I said, it's against the law. I said, you're not a lawbreaker, ever. We can't let our kids break the law and praise them. It's just the back road. That's not a good father. Amen. We teach them godly stuff. I didn't even know that was going to come up. So if y'all been letting your kids break the law and it's okay and they're just kids, stop it as a Christian. You are giving a bad example as a father. Hallelujah. And it'll hand on down to the grandkids, their kids, and all of that stuff, praise the Lord. But you know, I was thinking about I was thinking about how that God teaches us, you know, you might not be a father, but you're going to mentor somebody. So as you mimic Christ, the men and women and people, young and old, that comes into your life can experience God. You don't never have to be a father to walk in a father's manner because it's in you. Christ in you and me, the hope of glory. Somebody told me one time, they said, well, you know, you need to come over here and preach to them recovering druggies, because I was in drugs. We did drugs and cocaine and all that, and I sold it and all that. He said, they can identify with you. You can identify. You know how they feel. I said, that's not biblical. I said, Jesus never snorted one line of cocaine. Jesus never committed adultery. Jesus never drank beer. Jesus never drank whiskey and done all this stuff. I said, but he was anointed. I said, so no, it's not that. They need somebody that's been down there where they at so they can understand. I said, no, they need somebody. I said, I can go, but not for that reason, because I don't have to have done cocaine to win a cocaine addict to this Savior that I serve. I don't have to have done heroin to win somebody and get them delivered off of heroin, because I know how they feel. Flesh is flesh. Bondage is bondage. Sin is sin. And we have been redeemed from the curse of the law of sin and death. And you know what? I have been walking freer and freer for 30 years in that. I'm getting freer and freer the more I walk after God. And you know what? My son sees it. He's never heard me cuss that I know of. I'm not patting me on the back. That's just conviction. I was like, I can't let him hear me do that. I'm a new creation. I never told him, you'll never amount to anything. I never told him, we can't afford nothing. I never told him that negative junk contrary to the Bible. I said, we can't have it right now. You can change your words. You might not be able to afford it, but you're planting in them. I tell them grandkids all the time, there's more where that came from. Amen. If God said he will supply all of my needs, well, then he means that for them too, right? Yep. They got to believe that. How they going to believe it? I got to put it in them. Them kids believe most of the time what you're telling them. Unless they just know you're a liar. They can tell. They know. They know if I'm a hypocrite. They know if I'm pretending. They know if I'm, you know. Whew, that was hot, wasn't it? Whoo! Man, that anointing about made me sweat there, Mac. But you know what, praise God, hallelujah. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ, hallelujah. God sent me to that church. He sent you. I believe he sent you here. You need to find out where you're supposed to be, not because you have to. Because you want what God wants. I laid my hands on that keyboard right there under this morning for about the 13th time. And I said, God, I thank you right now for the keyboard player that you've anointed for this house. I laid my hands on those drums, Chris, and I said, Lord, thank you, Lord, for the anointing on Brother Chris that is as he operates in that call that God has given him. I said, but Lord, I thank you for the other drummers that you're going to send, Lord, that's going to come into this house that he will be able to mentor. Lord, I thank you for the bass players. I'll teach them to play the bass. And I thank you, Father God. Now I am trying to be, I want everything God has, that I will be a leader that wants what God's, and that'll give you a want to have what God wants in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. I got over to all of them, the guitars, the worship leader. I said, Lord, thank you for the worship leader. Well, Travis is, and he's your son. That has nothing to do with God. That is family-oriented. And I'm not family-oriented in that manner in this house. I am God-centered and I want what God wants. I want the anointing. I want the increase of God. I want 3 praise and worship leaders in this house. I want 3 or 4 lead guitar players in this house. I want 3 or 4 drunk bass players in this house. I want us to mimic God and it go down to our kids and our grandkids. I want the increase of God. I can see Travis following God somewhat what I did, like I did. But if I hadn't Pat, he'd be what I was. He would have followed me. He would have followed me more than likely. He's a daddy boy. He's still my little baby. He's my baby. He had a problem with that. You know, especially if we get on a job. I say, hey, baby, hand me that 716. And he'd look around, see if anybody looked. Well, he's my baby. I mean, he's my baby, right? He'll always be my baby. Hallelujah. But now he knows that if he's going to have anything, that I'm leaving inheritance to my children's children. He knows he's got to get his own stuff, right? Even though he's my baby. You know? Well, you know, now I'm out to prosper my son. I'm out to see him prosper. How many knows that's the way God is to us? He's out. So if I want him to prosper, I've got to mimic the Lord. I've got to mimic the Lord. Not as a religious thing, Doris. I'm a free man. I've been set free from that old man that kept me bondage and kept me blinded from the enemy. Blinded by him, by the enemy that was holding my life in darkness. I prayed for y'all and your kinfolk this morning. God, every one of them that has not given their heart to Jesus, their eyes are hid, blinded by the God of this world, Lord, and I'm praying for them that their eyes will be opened. That they'll be able to see. They think they know about Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They know about God, but they don't. There is a vast difference, Chris, in our lives when we get to know Jesus. My eyes have been opened to things. The enemy, boy, I mean, he's scared of me. That sucker. I mean, it seems like he keeps them away from this church in the hundreds of thousands. Over 24 years, it seems like he just does a good job keeping them away from here. But you know what we're doing? Thank the Lord, they're coming from the north, south, east, and west. And we're breaking the chains of the enemy. When we take it, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I thank you, Lord, that I'm a good father, back when I didn't feel like a good father. Because I know you, Lord. I'm going to lead my son in the ways of God. I'm going to lead my grandkids. You know, I'll take them grandkids and I'm going to spend some time with them. We go in there and we get some. I tell them, anywhere y'all want to eat. He says, we're not going to McDonald's. We just went to McDonald's. And I'm like, really? That's a miracle. Man, he loves McDonald's chicken and fries. That's been eating that since he's born. Pizza. He wants to be a pizza delivery boy. I mean, that boy eat pizza 3 meals. It's just because he thinks he's going to eat pizza. I'm telling you, he's going to be a pizza delivery guy. You know, but anyways, they said, we want to go to Wendy's. I said, Wendy's? Are y'all serious? Can y'all both find something to eat at Wendy's? Yeah, we get over at Wendy's. And she gets her chicken sandwich, same thing McDonald's. Chicken sandwich with a pickle, you know, and fries and a Fantasia, whatever that, Fanta, yeah, whatever that is. I get me some ice water. Anyways, and Aiden, he gets, I want that chicken. I want that kid's meal chicken. Same thing. They're the same thing. Well, anyhow, we sat down there, and they're fixing to go to Goblin. And I said, hey, guys. I said, don't you think we need to say the blessing up in here? That's been a godly example in the middle of a crowded restaurant. If you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you before my Father, he says. I'm not going to just do it. I'm going to do it in McDonald's or in Wendy's. And so then, you know, they said their blessing, and we did and all that. And I thought, yes, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for that opportunity. Well, I said, okay, guys. I said, where are we going shopping at, man? I take them grandkids shopping. They're ready for grandma to get out for a day somewhere. And so she takes them shopping. Don't she does all the time. She a lot. Well, anyways, they want to go to Dollar Tree. Well, they can't find nothing. I told them, I said, you know why y'all can't find nothing you want in Dollar Tree? Or Family Dollar. I said, God has been so good to you that you don't need nothing. I'm planting that in them. So it'll override the dissatisfaction they feel. If it's flesh, you will never be satisfied. Right. As adults, I'm talking about. Yeah. That flesh is never satisfied. But we get that flesh under subjection to where we're content, Paul said. Yeah. I learned how to be content. Just content with your old furniture. Right. Thank you, Lord, we got some. Amen. Then he said, "Pooh, I'm going to give you some expensive for a little of nothing, black God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. He's a good father.
Yes, he is.
Well, you know, even as Papa, I'm still showing them a father's example. Because I don't know how to be a Papa. But I done been down there and been a father.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use the same father stuff being a Papa.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I made up my mind. I'm going to be Papa. So I built a relationship with them. That's how you get it. Not by competition, not by you are there for them. I didn't go to their swim lessons a couple times. Now look, Aubrey's been spending, now Beth, she couldn't turn loose of her for a few weeks. I knew that would end, you know, because it's her first baby. And how long? God, it was terrible, Beth. Yeah. About 8 months, she wouldn't let her spend a night with us, you know, new baby, and we understood. But then things changed. And, they think Tuesday night, that's living for the weekend job. They live for Tuesday night, man. I mean, they almost want to go fire the school for let school getting out. And the kids are going to be here every day. I mean, they go to rejoicing. Yes, it's 38 days. Woo! But anyhow, praise the Lord, we go. And so they come to me, Richard and Aiden. He said, hey, Papa, you think you can go next time? I said, I don't know about all that. I'm just got a lot going on. Like that. And he said, well, you know, they might be something challenging that we have to do and you could see it. So I went down there and sat in that sweat hole for an hour. Man, they got the heater on in that pool room. And they say I use a lot of that, whatever that stuff is, chlorine. Shoot, man, you're breathing it in your nostril. It ain't that bad. So I sat down there in that chlorine for an hour. Sweating, I'm talking about sweating. It wasn't hot outside. It's like I went there and feel like I'm in air conditioning outside. And so I thought, but God, that's what building a relationship with them is, doing away with what I want at that moment, laying it down and spending some quality time. So anyways, we went and I told them, they said, well, can we go to Walmart? And I said, yeah, let's go to Walmart. We pull up in their trucks at Walmart, and they got excited like Christmas. So Aiden had to get my phone and call Mommy. He hadn't seen Mommy in an hour and a half. He's a Mommy baby now. He's like, Dad, did you put it on FaceTime, Papa? And I said, no, it's just on. And so we're in Walmart, and they're trying to find him. They tell me that Dad has a certain toilet paper that he likes, and he's not going to have no other kind. Aubrey said, there's something wrong with him. And I said, well, I don't know about all that. He's too picky with that toilet paper, Papa. So we go in Walmart. They say, we know where they're at. And I said, well, where are they? Dayton said, they're over at the toilet paper aisle. And they're going to the toilet paper aisle. Did y'all go to the toilet paper aisle? They knew him. And hey, Aubrey, I guarantee you that's where they're at, because Dad. Anyhow, we get over there and to go down there to the toilet paper aisle, and he's not there. So Aiden says, "You got your phone?" I give him my phone. And he calls Mom. "Hey, Mommy." She said, "What? Where are you at?" She said, "I'm at Walmart." Like it. And he said, "We're here too." Well, they seen the truck out there. But anyways, we shopped around Walmart and got out of there. And I told them, I'm going down through there. And I said, "Listen," I said, "y'all guys have set me back a little bit today." I said, "Y'all run off and left me when you knew Mom and Dad was here." I said, "Y'all found them on the phone and she told you where they was at, and y'all took off and left me. Did y'all not realize that?" She said, "I thought you was right with us, Papa." I said, "Y'all were running. Running to get there. Y'all outrun me. I'm not running through Walmart to get to Mom and Dad." You know, well, anyways, we're going down through there, and I said, "All right." Aiden, he said, "I want this book." And it said, what was the name of that book? Action Bible. Action Bible. So Aiden, he gets that Bible. He said, "Action Bible," about that thick. He came over and he said, "Hey, Bobo, can I have this book?" And I looked at that book and it was $20. I said, "Man, that's $20. I said, "Now y'all's limit was $20. You done spent $8 over at Family Dollar, and Aubrey's done hers is out." I said, "This puts you over the top. I'm talking about over." And I said, "And we ain't gonna make up Aubrey's even stuff here." He said, "That goes over?" I said, "Yeah, you ain't getting nothing else if I get that." He said, "I said, that's up to you." I said, "I'm willing to be generous and give you a little over, you know." And he said, "Well," I said, "are you going to read that?" He said, "I'm going to take it to Grandma's house, because the grandma reads the Bible every Tuesday night to them." You hear me? Grandma gets the Bible, and they read Bible stories to Grandma, and they make me read. And so he's like, "I'm going to take this and read it to Grandma every Tuesday night." I said, "Okay, that's great. That's good." Well, we started out there, and I said, "You know what, guys?" I said, "Y'all set me back." I said, "Y'all owe me for the lunch." Like that, you know, I said, "because I done spent over here." I said, "So I think y'all ought to pay me for the lunch y'all eat." And Aubrey, she got my hand, and she said, "Well, that's not right, Papa." And I said, "Why is that not right?" She said, "Because you invited us to come." She said, "So it's your fault that we're with you." And I thought, he got that from him. It's Mom's fault that he's here. But I thought about it. I said, "Okay." I said, "I'm just going to take care of y'all guys." I said, "It's all good." And I thought about it. I thought, Lord, that's the way a relationship is built. You know, you can have fun and all of that, but show them some godly stuff, some stuff that'll impact their lives. And so anyways, I thank God for my pastor. And I thank God for y'all teachers, Monty, all of y'all that's teaching and in the ministry, praise God, because we're all reflecting God and the anointing and all of that, praise God. So thank you, fathers. Happy Father's Day, all of y'all out there. You might have took that a little rough. Get in church. Get in church! Whether you ever come here or not, it's God's will. Forsake not the assembling of you cannot be a godly father without following God. You won't. You will not. You will tilt to your ways, praise God, hallelujah. So anyhow, come to church, we're all happy for you. You're invited. We'll send you an address, hallelujah, praise God. We'll treat you so many ways, you'll have to like one of them. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you, and we thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you are our Father. Oh, we give you glory this morning. We thank you, Father God. We thank you, Lord, that you gave your very best because you are a good Father for us. And Lord, we just thank you, Father God, this morning, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the anointings and callings you've placed in our lives as fathers. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you placed a special calling on men, on men to lead the families, Lord, to bring them up in the care of the kingdom of God, Lord. I thank you for that. And leaders in the body and leaders in ministries, Lord, wherever it's at, Father God. And Lord, we give you glory. But Lord, we thank you, Father God, as we look unto you, we reflect you. And Lord, then do we know how to be fathers. Then do we know how to be leaders, Lord. Father, I thank you that signs, wonders, and miracles will follow this service. If you're here this morning, you know you've away from the Lord, or you're listening by way of internet, you've away from the Lord. You've got angry at church. You've got angry at spiritual leaders and all of that stuff, you know. That was just a tactic of the enemy to get you out of your fellowship with the Father. But you know what? Today you can, if you had a bad experience in church, that's not all churches. You know, they're not all churches are the same. But today, surrender to the Lord. Surrender to your Father. And he's ready just to lavish his love and his gifts and all of that on you. Praise God. So if you're away from the Lord or you're lost, never been born again, your heart is your altar. All you got to do is say, Lord, I ask you to come into my heart and my life and mean it in your heart and ask him to be your Lord and Savior, and he will come in, praise God. Anybody here this morning, you want prayer before we dismiss? All right. Let's stand to our feet. Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah.